Although it does not figure prominently in the collective imagination of Americans, there is such a thing as the high art log house. In the United States, we cherish the log cabin as an emblem of the country's humble beginnings. And for a nation that has often struggled to find its history, the log cabin is our rock. That heavily mythologized image of the uncivilized pioneer who labors to stake his claim on the wide open frontier is one we often turn to in search of our national identity. But just as the image of the log cabin conjures up positive sentiment in America, it is also regarded as the uncivilized starting point from which we have worked so hard to advance ourselves as a society. Light-deprived rooms that are too hot or cold and smoky or damp, together with a leaky roof and an utter lack of personal space, are not characteristics that we associate with domestic shelters today, except on camping trips. That's from the opening of Log Houses of the World. And oh my, how these log houses are so different from that cramped, leaky home that we last heard about in our opening reading. The log house, in American terms, the log cabin, is, as we just heard, a truly American icon, albeit certainly not only an American idea put into practice. As our author tells us in that very first chapter, log houses have a long and storied tradition that dates back hundreds of years, not only in this country, but also in Northern and Central Europe. But wherever it may be found, the log house or the log cabin is an idea that goes way back in human time. A house made from logs, after all, can be found even in ancient Greek buildings back in the days before Homer. And what about Lincoln logs, those clunky pieces of wood that so many of us first learned to manipulate to make rough-hewn homes and buildings in our living rooms or our dens or maybe the kitchen? Well, Lincoln logs were the log cabin-inspired brainchild of an iconic American family, developed and marketed by the son of none other than Frank Lloyd Wright some 100 years ago. Lincoln logs were a mainstay of my and my sister's young lives not quite 100 years ago, and perhaps of yours as well. They remain ubiquitous in children's lives even today. To the log house was a feature in any number of world's fairs. World's fairs from the mid-1860s and well into the 1940s were an international showcase of all things new, exciting, and in terms of log homes, quite an important part of what made the World's Fair a World's Fair. Even today, thanks in part to commercial TV, log cabin dwelling is a way of living that's as modern as Split Level was to the 1970s. The market continues to be strong for houses made out of wood. So a book featuring log cabins is a no-brainer for your local public library, and I dare say for bookstore display shelves as well, and this one certainly fits the bill. Each of the many chapters in Log Houses of the World, a beautifully illustrated book, by the way, looks at a specific log house and home, giving a full frontal view from the outside, most often in the house's neighborhood setting, which is itself most often in a rural area, and providing us with the home's rich interior, almost always filled with lots of wood paneling, warm-colored walls, furnishings, and floors. The home builders and the homeowner's intentions in building these gorgeous homes is discussed. And we conclude each house tour with a more richly colored view of these upscale, rough-hewn homes, often with glimpses of blueprints that might just send some of us into an architectural musing or two of our own. The houses shown here in this oversized book, often, as I mentioned, in luscious full color, are all to be found in the Northern Hemisphere, the United States and Europe in particular. And while one in particular dates back to 1300, a cabin that was originally built and can still be visited in Norway, we also see multi-page spreads featuring such things as a remote mountain Swiss chalet from the same family dating back to the year 1708, most recently updated in the 1990s. And indeed, The interweaving of beautiful photographic shots of interiors and exteriors only reignites the realization that many of the builders and dwellers in these often less than well-esteemed homes are famous, perhaps the best known being the famed early 1900s furniture maker artist Gustav Stickley's log home, about which our author tells us. Nearly a century after Gustav Stickley first bought property in Morris Plains, the skyscrapers and congestion of nearby Newark and New York still seem a world away as one enters the winding road that stems from the highway into the uninterrupted tranquility of Craftsman Farms. This is what initially drew Stickley to the place, of course, and ultimately compelled him to acquire about 650 acres in the towns. America's most prominent voice in the arts and crafts movement would use this land as the location of his planned community, a family residence, farm, school, workshop complex, all in keeping with the back-to-nature philosophy of living espoused by his magazine. Along the way, however, the self-made German-American entrepreneur from Wisconsin saw his vast real estate holdings and businesses in furniture design and manufacture, magazine and book publishing, and residential design and construction become an overwhelming financial burden. In his attempts to create a craftsman empire, Stickley had grown too fast. Although he was never able to realize this entire plan, Stickley did manage to construct on the farm a few shingled cottages, and most notably, the clubhouse. Designed in 1908 and completed in 1911, the clubhouse is the most compelling building and the only one of log construction. When it was published in his book, More Craftsman Homes, in 1912, Stickley described its site and its construction of chestnut logs this way. As in the pioneer days, the space for this house had to be first cleared in the forest. The abundant chestnut trees were cut down, and of them, the house is built. The logs are hewn on two sides and peeled, and the hewn sides laid together and chinked with cement mortar. The logs are stained the color of the bark. It goes on to show page after page of what is not exactly a Lincoln-esque kind of log home. This is a log home that a craftsman would be proud to live in. And indeed, Stickley managed to be there for quite a few years. More often than not, these homes of special interest and provenance have been built by men and women of significance. As a fellow reviewer wrote about this panoply of famous architects who took up the log cabin theme in their work, quote, many of the world's most renowned modern era architects have designed log houses, including Elio Saarinen, Adolf Loos, Le Corbusier, Alvar Aalto, R.M. Schindler, Richard Neutra, and John Lautner, among others. These examples, most never before published, are gathered here, along with log homes by other world-famous figures of the design world, past and present, including the aforementioned Stickley, Lars Wallman, Robert A.M. Stern, and Peter Zum Thor. Note, the author of the text, Richard Olson, himself has a storied career in the world of architecture. He was senior architecture and design editor for Abrams Books, director of Doubleday's Architects and Designers Book Service and Antiques Roadshow Book Club, architecture editor for Rizzoli Universe Publishing, and editorial manager for the arts and photography and travel bookstores at Amazon.com. And most recently, author Richard Olson was senior editor for Architectural Digest. He has a number of books still coming out under his pen, and it is quite exciting to be able to review this beautiful look at log houses written by such an esteemed and well-thought-of author. No, this is not the book for you if you're thinking of building your own cabin in the woods, at least not unless you have oodles of money to throw at the project, as Gustav Stickley did. It is a book for you if you enjoy dreaming about what could be and what some folks actually do live with in terms of their log houses. Log Houses of the World is, in other words, a dream book rooted in reality. Perhaps the trees that make up these homes would like to know that analogy is their legacy. Let's finish by reading about that Swiss Alpine cabin that was originally built in 1708 and continually added upon, improved, most recently in the 1990s. Our author concludes his chapter on that beautiful, beautiful cabin in the woods this way. When we arrived at Kuglan, which has no address and was one of the more challenging locations to find on our journey across the world. The photographer and I learned that there had been a miscommunication, and the owner would not be there to open the house for us to take pictures. Fortunately, we were able to examine and photograph the house's exterior, which kept us spellbound for the better portion of a sunny morning. Gugelin, like other works by the architect Zumthor, has an unusual way of captivating the onlooker. Critic Paul Goldberger summarized the feeling best, quote, "Zumthor's buildings, like all great art, make you think of other things because you want to connect them to the whole of your life experience. You want to be in them, to touch them, to feel how their reality ripples across everything else you know." And indeed, although the author and his photographer couldn't get into this particular house set in the Swiss Alps dating from 1708, the outdoor photography on that sunny winter's day is stunning and certainly something I would like to touch. Perhaps you would too. And see, as our author wrote, how their reality ripples across everything else you know. Log Houses of the World, an American icon brought into a new perspective by Richard Olson. Photography, by the way, by Radha Karaj. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.